Good morning. You're listening to The Beacon. Deciding whether I was going to sing the introduction or not.
It sounded exactly like that. Yes, it did.
Good. I'm glad that I was being transparent about my intentions.
I knew exactly where you were going.
Absolutely.
With that. So you did a great job.
Thank you. My transparency on my utter confusion.
And how are you?
I'm good. It is Saturday morning, November 10th. Heading into the second week of November here.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. But I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fantastic as always, surprisingly, considering we're headed towards the end of the year and moving into a new direction next year.
What new direction is that?
Well, all the changes with the election and everything. Elected officials, history-breaking legislators who have come onto the scene that we previously hadn't heard about before.
Yeah, so. It's been a big week. Mm-hmm. Illinois is in for some big changes, too.
Changes.
Yeah.
David Bowie, yeah.
So good.
And so I'm looking forward to that and everything else that comes along with the holiday season.
It's here. We're kind of in the thick of it. Although I have to tell you, last year, so I had this big, I'm signing here, in case you're wondering why I'm hitting my chest. I guess it was not really complaint. Complaint's a little strong of a word, but there was a furniture store near my house that last year had their Christmas decorations up before Halloween.
Mm.
So the weekend after Halloween, so I guess that would have been last weekend, I drove by, bound and determined to see if they had their Halloween decorations up again. And they had not yet put their decorations, their Christmas decorations up, not Halloween decorations, Christmas decorations up. So last year they had them up before Halloween. This year, the weekend after Halloween, they still did not have their Christmas decorations up. So I'm wondering if they got some sort of backlash about...
They probably heard you on the radio talking about it.
Oh, my influence.
And they said, we can't do that anymore because Lainey doesn't like it.
Yeah. My influence reaches far and wide, friends. Don't get on my bad side.
Yeah. Well, with so many ways, you can shop in so many different ways. You can go to the brick and mortar. Or you can do it online, and they'll even deliver it to you.
Yes, I know. And sadly, all these brick-and-mortar shops are going out of business because of the convenience of online shopping. And I'm 1,000% guilty of that.
Yeah, that's part of it. There's a big box store that's closing too. Stores on the south side. The city tried to intervene, but they're still
struggling.
Yeah, they have their mind made up. They're going to close them.
Isn't it crazy? And I was watching. There's a new show on Netflix called Patriot Act. Have you heard of it? Patriot Act. Yeah.
Probably. I'm sure I have.
It's brand new. They come out with episodes weekly, so it's not like they drop an entire season in one day. So you actually are waiting for an episode to come out. They started 3 weeks ago. It's a comedian named Hasan Minhaj, and he takes issues that affect us, but not issues that are in the mainstream media. So not the issues that we're already satiated with every day, but issues that are still very important to kind of our everyday life. And he did an episode last week, I believe, on one of the big online conglomerate stores and how they take down brick and mortar businesses. And not only brick and mortar businesses, but how they take down little online businesses as well. And it's a conglomerate that we all know and love, but their business practices are real sketchy, sketchy.
I can just imagine who that would be.
Yeah, you don't have to stretch your imagination very far. But, they do this undercutting of prices of these bigger stores and go directly to the consumer. And, of course, as consumers, we want to spend the least amount possible and get the biggest return on our investment. And so this company has done a brilliant job at doing just that. And so not only the little guys are going out of business, but the big guys are going out of business,
yeah,
too. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if there's a good solution to that problem, because I think at the end of the day, the consumer is always going to be wanting to save their money. And if they can get more for less, that's what they're, the majority, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a dog eat dog world.
It is.
Dog eat dog. And you know, a lot of stores out there, they when they're advertising their product, they'll say, come and save.
You know? Right.
And my thought is, well, you know, I don't have to spend any money at all.
So right.
I can save it. I don't keep my money.
Right.
But I guess they mean if you're going to buy something anyway, then
if you're going to buy something. Right. Absolutely. And I think the online shopping has the advantage of you just don't have to go out and deal with traffic and crowds and, you know, all the, especially when it comes to holiday shopping, it gets so insane. I mean, I don't like going to the mall on the middle of a Tuesday when there's nobody there, let alone when you're in the thick of holiday shopping and especially when you're going and you don't really know what you're looking for, you know, you're just sort of aimlessly wandering around. And
well,
then
I never do that.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. I don't anymore. But I mean, there's a day like when my kids, you know, so as a parent, it's like, okay, you've got to be equitable with the Christmas presents, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I've got my son is done, but then my daughter needs a couple more things, but I don't know what I'm going to get her. So I'm going to go to the mall and just aimlessly look around. Like that is often how that scenario plays out.
No, guys, don't shop like that. I know exactly what I want, the size, the color. Do you have it? No. Okay, bye.
So much more efficient.
Yes, bring it out. How much is it? And then we go over the price. So.
Buy, finish, done, buy. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's such a much more efficient way. I think as I've gotten a little bit older, I mean, my patience has certainly run thin. And I am not a mall shopper anyway. I really despise going to the mall in general. But yeah, that's a much more efficient way of shopping. But, you know, online shopping, again, it kind of cuts out that whole experience that is not a great experience in the first place. So if we can find a way to you know, take that out of the equation, then I think people are open to that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how we got on this topic. I guess we just were talking
about
Christmas deck. We're just talking. We're just chatting.
You mentioned a television show, The Patriot. And along the lines of that, I saw a television show the other day. And it was something, and I've seen it before. And what it is that these individuals at this show, it was a reality show, and they went to a restaurant, and in this particular case, it was a sushi restaurant, and they walk in, and, you know, it's like girls' night out, and there's this guy on a table, naked, and, of course, he's got sushi all over him. Of course, you know, his private parts are covered, and I'm thinking, who would eat that? Would you eat that? Would you eat off a human body?
I think I'd have to know the person on a pretty intimate level to be comfortable. I mean, the show's taking a different direction, but if I'm going to be eating food off of another person's body, like I need to know them on probably a more intimate level than just walking into a restaurant and seeing them laying out there for the first time. Although if it's that type, I mean, I've never heard of a restaurant like that, number one. But number two, I guess I could see there being a market for that for a girls' night out type of event. I would hope that this gentleman is, his hygiene is highly regulated. If this is his job and this is what the restaurant is specializing in and they're marketing this as, mm-hmm. you know, as a gimmick for girls' night out or bachelorette parties or whatever they're doing, I would hope that, you know, that like the health inspector would be monitoring, or that there would be codes that they would be required to live up to keep it nice and sanitary. But yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I've seen it the other way around as well, where there's a woman who's lying there.
In this really?
Instance, she was, I think she had Hawaiian food on her body.
I've never heard of that type of a restaurant.
That's not all they do.
Right? No, I can imagine. I can imagine.
And my no. I would not.
Hard no.
No.
Hard no. I mean, I think you'd have to go with the intent knowing exactly. Like, I could see that being a Las Vegas thing, or even in Los Angeles, I'm sure they have those types of services. But yes, I would imagine that it's kind of a bigger package deal, right? Like, mm-hmm. girls' night out, probably gentlemen's clubs, whatnot, would, you know, I could see them offering those types of services. But no, I think unless it was like big bachelorette night and this is what we had planned and But I don't know. I don't
maybe
see.
Maybe as a spectacle, maybe
right.
as just something, a hoot or something, you know.
Right.
But I wouldn't dine off.
I don't think that I would either.
Well, yeah. I think we've
so on that
show.
Note. That took a different turn, didn't it? And here I was going to talk about how my eyesight has been shot lately, but this I think was much more interesting of a discussion.
Well, we could talk about your eyesight.
That's all right.
But
maybe it'll be a filler between segments.
What we really want to get to is the fact that our first guest is going to be John Chikau, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He is a member of the Magnificent Mile, and he's going to come and talk about, speaking of shopping, he is from the Mag Mile Association. He's going to talk about how that organization helps people with disabilities, get around there on the Mag Mile.
And oh, like the accessibility on the Mag. Oh, that's
exactly.
cool.
Accessibility. Right on. And that should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, especially going into the holiday shopping season. Mm-hmm. It would be good to know their access points for sure.
And other things as well. So we'll stay tuned for that. And unfortunately, we're missing a member, a soldier. Brett is down. He's not able to. His voice has left him. So we'll just hear what Sandy has to recommend today.
Perfect. That works.
And then.
Ooh. Yes, we have the awe factor. This is a local story this week. So it's kind of a fun local story. So stay tuned for that.
Bringing it on home.
Bringing it on home. And for those of you who do not live in the Chicago area, we are referring to, of course, the Chicago area. And then we'll wrap up the show with Luke's Corner. Luke's Laboratory. No, I got Tom's Corner and Luke's Laboratory mixed up.
Well, I can see how that would happen.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. So Luke's Laboratory will be closing. We'll be bringing it home tonight. This morning, rather. It's not night. It's morning. It's morning.
Yeah. But I can see how you might make that slip because you're probably thinking about the move that we're going to be making.
That is actually what I was thinking of. But still, we're not moving to a nighttime slot. But
no, but it would be later. And it'll be a different day. Sundays from 8 until 9, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Nope, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I did that again. God, what is wrong with me?
We would really have to be innovative if we were going to do a 13-hour show.
Well, it could be done.
Yeah, you think so? You're on your own with that, buddy.
Okay, and that's going to take place, I think it's December 3rd is the first?
Yeah, the first Sunday of December.
Yeah. So for the next few weeks, we'll still be here at our old regular time slot.
But we'll remind you.
Yeah, we'll remind you. And I know it's difficult. Like I said before, your shows move and then your entire routine is thrown off, kind of.
Totally disrupted.
But, you know, it's a change in season, so you have an opportunity to do that with your routine.
Clean slate.
Could be worse. I've experienced shows that I've loved, and they've just gone away unexplained.
Exactly.
So at least we'll still be in the ballpark, and you can find us.
We're close. We're not going anywhere far.
That's right. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Beacon, a public service of the Chicago Lighthouse, here on WCPT 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in Business Information Technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also, going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. people that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, everyone, we all woke up yesterday, Friday morning, to our first snow season of the year, which means that the holidays are fast approaching. Believe it or not, we're already in mid-November, just about. And that means that it's almost time for the start of the Lights Festival here in the Windy City in Chicago and the Mag Mile. And here to talk with us about that and about a few other topics is one of the persons that's responsible for helping put this together, John Chico, who is the president of the Magnificent Mile Association. John, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, John, you have been very involved with the Lighthouse, and we'll get back to that in a few minutes, but could you start with a little bit of background about you? How long have you been in the Mag Mile Association?
Well, my background is in nonprofit management.
Okay.
So I graduated out of college, went to work for the Boy Scouts in Milwaukee and Pasadena, and then came back and worked with the Institute of Real Estate Management, ran their foundation, and then came over about 9 years ago to the Magnificent Mile Association. So this kind of a career path in nonprofit management.
Wow, so almost a decade with help working with this wonderful, the Mag Mile Association. Wow, that's impressive already. And it looks like your career has taken a few different turns.
That's true. Yeah. I've gone from snow to sunshine and the beach.
Wow, that's quite a diverse combination. But John, as I mentioned earlier, you were very involved during the summer with the Chicago Lighthouse, which, as our listeners this is where we produce the Beacon. And could you tell us, first of all, why you found our campaign to be so compelling, so interesting? The Lighthouse is on the Mag Mile.
Well, two things. First of all, I think the story that resonated and the program got great media coverage was the diversity of individuals that have their life challenges that were artists for the various lighthouses. So that was just an absolute wonderful recognition of people that are great artists no matter what their life challenges are. So
So
we were very excited about that and felt that the campaign represented that very well. For me personally, it was in a different moment in my career. One of the things that I was responsible for in the 90s was a call center, and this was back before you could get your phone out and place your order and all that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to pick up the phone and call in your order for a delivery company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I remember correctly, we were up to 5 Lighthouse clients that were employed by the company that I worked for that were order takers. And one of the things we always talked about was they had the highest accuracy rate of anybody in the department, very, very, very conscientious about coming to work. And so, we developed some great relationships there.
So in other words, your work with the Lighthouse spans even before 2018, before the Mag Mile.
Very much so. This was back in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, wow. And it's like I was telling you and Adam Scaff, who's here joining us as well. He's behind the scenes. But it's like I was telling you
This campaign, The Lighthouses on the Magmile, has by far been one of my favorites, you know, campaigns that we've worked here at The Lighthouse. And what are your thoughts on the actual campaign itself?
Well, you know, the various what we call public art with a purpose. Uh-huh. You know, the various campaigns that we've seen over time, I think share some similar traits.
Absolutely,
they're very colorful. They're very serendipitous. People don't expect to see it. And and then there's a high level of what I like to refer to as surprise and delight. And so we've had horses and dogs in honor of our police. We've had the lighthouses. We've had Victoria's Secret model wings and all manner of different things. And so what we see is people taking pictures, uploading pictures, creating awareness for whatever the campaign is, but also for the Magnificent Mile District.
Sure. And, you know, these art displays are during the summer, but the Mag Mile, you always have activities going on year-round. And as I mentioned earlier, one of those activities that's coming up fast is the Lights Festival. Could you talk a little bit about what that is?
So the BMO Harris Magnificent Mile Lights Festival, I have to get the full name in there so everybody knows. We've been doing this for 27 years now.
27 years.
And the idea is to if you go back to 50, almost not quite 60 years ago, there was an individual from Saks Fifth Avenue that happened to be in Italy and saw these little white lights in the trees and said, wow, this would be fun for in front of the store. And so before they came back to Chicago, they bought a quantity of these little white Italian lights. We call them Italian lights now. And that year, the trees in front of the Saks Fifth Avenue store had lights in the trees. So guess what happened the following year?
Lights Festival.
Well, no, there were actually lights in all of the trees up and down Michigan Avenue.
I'm getting so, ahead of myself.
Yeah, for about 3.5-4 decades, it was a very casual. Before Thanksgiving, everybody kind of got together, turned the lights on, and sometimes there was a Hollywood star or someone like that that would flip a switch. But about 27 years ago, the dynamics of the Central Business District in Chicago was different, and so people were going to the suburbs for shopping, and we needed to get them to come here. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, we're going to build an event around the lighting of the lights, and I tell people the first year we did this, it was like a half a block long. We were like going from Chicago Avenue to Superior Street, and the reason it was only half a block long is if the light changed, we'd have to stop because we were in live traffic, and then that gave way a year or so later to Walt Disney Parks and Resorts calling and saying, we'd like to be a part of what you do in Chicago, similar to what they did on the East Coast in Philadelphia and Baltimore and Washington, D.C. So that's how we got a connection with Disney and connected with WGN at the time that just launched a cable, national cable station. And then we've moved along. So 27 years later, we have a great parade. We have a big two-day festival, Lights Festival Lane at the Chicago River and Michigan Avenue, and it's been a lot of fun.
And as I understand, like you said, 27 years later, it's considered the nation's largest holiday celebration.
Well, two things happened that we just kind of laughed. We just had a laugh. You know, the first year was, a number of years ago, all the Chicago media thought it was a brilliant idea to say, this is the official start of the holiday shopping season. We didn't have anything to do with that, but we grabbed it.
That's it.
And then the second thing is, as we looked around the country, we are the largest nighttime holiday celebration in the country. So it's a big deal. 91% of the TVs in the United States will have the opportunity to see this show at least once, and in many markets they'll offer it two or three times, and then for the third year in a row we're now in most of the major cities in Canada. So it's a big infomercial for the city of Chicago. Reason to come.
I have to say, as a lifelong Chicagoan, you know, this is one of my favorite, and I know for me personally it is, if not one of the most important celebrations of the start of the holiday season. So, you know, it's one of my favorite times of the year. And now going back, again, this festival, it starts on November 16th. In other words, this upcoming Friday.
So Friday night, we were very excited when the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events decided to move the Christmas tree lighting from the Daly Center to Millennium Park. Okay. And so we've been working, hand in hand with entertainment and cross marketing. And so the big city Christmas tree lighting happens in Millennium Park on Friday night. And then we also have our events and activities in Lights Festival Lane, Michigan Avenue, and the Chicago River at the Pioneer Court at 401 North Michigan Avenue. So we're trying to help each other out to make sure that that we draw a lot of people to celebrate on that Friday. And then Saturday we have Lights Festival Lane during the day. We have various live entertainment at 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30. We have some artist meet and greets, and then we hurry up and shift so that we can participate in the parade. And the parade kicks off up at Oak Street at 5:30, and is over by 7, and the fireworks go off in the Chicago River, and we end with a bang.
And, of course, Mickey and Minnie.
We have Mickey and Minnie. We have Woody and Jesse from Toy Story. We have Anna and Elsa from Frozen, Timon and Rafiki from The Lion King, and it just doesn't get any more exciting
exactly,
than that.
Exactly. Wow, that's wonderful. In other words, something that the entire family can enjoy.
Well, and that's important because this is a completely and totally free event. We do no one is charged any kind of access fee or seating fee or anything like that. Families can come down, enjoy the whole day, and through our partners and our sponsors and the city of Chicago helping, this is a grand. It's a magnificent, actually. It's a magnificent family day.
No pun intended.
Well, no, it's absolutely intended.
And where can people find out more,
John? So this is going to be really hard. TheMagnificentMile.com. If you go to TheMagnificentMile.com and then you click through on the Lights Festival icons, we've got the schedule, we've got offers from various members that have, and by the way, these are offers are not only good for the weekend, they're good all the way until New Year's.
All right.
So if you want to come back when the crowds are a little less, there's all sorts of different opportunities to partake.
Wonderful. Well, again, that is www.themagnificentmile.com. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Perfect. Well, John, we're running out of time, but is there anything else you'd like to add or share?
Well, we're so happy that we can do this for the public, and we were so happy to host Lighthouses on the Magnificent Mile, and maybe there's an opportunity to do that again down the road. But when creative people come together, they can do magnificent things.
Absolutely, and we appreciate your support of the Lighthouse of People with Disabilities and of Chicago in general. Well, again, everyone, this was John Chico, president of the Magnificent Mile Association here in Chicago. John, thank you again so much for all the wonderful work you do.
You're welcome.
This has been The Beacon.
One in six of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Well, folks, welcome back to The Beacon. And we're glad that you're here. Thank you very much for joining us for this program. It goes kind of quick, so you better not blink, right?
Buckle up, Buttercup. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention a couple of things before we get into our next segment. And let's see. One of those is that if you're in the Highland Park area during the next few weeks, we hope you'll stop by the First Bank of Highland Park to see a powerful and moving display of the work that we do supporting access and inclusion for people with disabilities on the Ruth Fell Wander Community Art Wall. And I'm talking, of course, about the work that the Lighthouse does. The wall showcases local nonprofit organizations that are making a difference in the community. The Lighthouse was selected because of the life-changing services we provide to people who are blind or visually impaired. So please be sure to stop by the First Bank of Highland Park during the month of November to see the Lighthouse display. And they're at 1835 First Street in Highland Park, Illinois. And they're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., then Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. So that's something that you probably will enjoy. And I think that they even have a few of the Lighthouse, the ones that we had on Magnificent Mile.
Some of the statues there?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
There. It's a nice little presentation. So stop by and check it out.
Sounds good.
And, you know, unfortunately, something took place that a lot of people were happy about this past week, and that was that the 11-year coach, three-time Stanley Cup winner, Joel Quenneville, was let go by the Blackhawks. But
how do you feel about that? You're the big sports junkie of the two of us.
Well, you know, I think Ditka said it best, this too shall pass. But, you know, that's the type of thing that happens. That's sports.
Yeah.
With him moving on, the Blackhawks, some people feel, are entering a new phase, so to speak. But in the meantime, in between time, keep in mind that on November 18th, you can be a part of a benefit that will help the Chicago Lighthouse. All proceeds will help the Chicago Lighthouse, and that's a game between the Chicago Blackhawks versus the Minnesota Wild. So it's an opportunity to get out and see how this new coach handles the team. And, of course, it'll be at the United Center, 1901 West Madison Street. And everybody's going to sit in Section 324, which I'm guessing is a great section, $91 per ticket. And there are some pregame events, which include guests can use the ice from 3 to 4 p.m., huh?
Yeah.
And there will be a raffle for tickets to a 2019 Blackhawks game and the Lighthouse Art autographed clocks. Remember those wonderful fashion clocks that we produce here? And there's free parking at the MB Ice Arena. So for more information to buy tickets, call Lion Chris Coleman at 708-785-5726.
Do you have any preliminary thoughts on the new coach? Do you know much about him?
Well, you know, no, not really. Just what I read in the paper, obviously, he's a younger guy, about 33.
33, yeah.
He played a little bit of hockey, and he had a lot of success in the minor leagues, coaching Blackhawks-affiliated teams. So, you know.
Is it unusual for them to recruit a head coach from the minor leagues as opposed to recruiting an assistant coach or somebody from who's already in the NHL franchise?
No.
Or is this pretty common that they recruit from the minor leagues?
It happens. It's fairly common. I think once a general manager sets their sight on a potential candidate for coaching, they can come from any walk of life. You have them come from college. You have them come from the minors. And this is a guy who was in the minor league system of the Blackhawks, and he worked with some of the players that are on the current team. So
he was probably, probably had their eyes on him for a while.
Yeah, so it's not like he's completely
out of left field.
Out of left field,
so to speak.
Yeah, so we'll have a chance to see how he manages games and does his rotations and all those things.
Cool, something to look forward to.
Mm.
And best of luck to Coach Q. Any word on where he's going?
No, but I would imagine that he can get a job anywhere he
just
wants.
Just about anywhere. Yeah, he's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
For sure.
Three championships. And he's got a lot of coaching experience, so he'll probably be able to choose whatever whatever job, if he decides to coach again, he wants.
Or maybe he just wants to, you know, chill out for a little bit.
Mm.
Enjoy his success and not have to worry for a little bit.
That's right.
We'll see.
Now, if anyone still is feeling kind of down about that change, here's something that's guaranteed to bring you back, something that will give you that warm fuzzies. And with the temperatures the way that they are these days, that's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lainey Kleeman with The Awe Factor.
Thank you, Bri. When town Superman needs help, community rallies behind him to raise thousands. So I get my stories from a national, actually it's an international, so this website provides these good news stories like internationally. So I like when I find them close to home because I think that really triggers like there's something really cool going on that it can be collected in this international news source.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight we're talking, today, this morning, why do I keep saying tonight? I don't even feel like it's nighttime. Maybe because when I leave here, it's going to be dark because it gets dark so early. But anyway, I digress. There is a young gentleman by the name of Jonathan Charbonneau. He lives in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, which is just our neighboring suburb here. And for the last 26 years, the town has been grateful to enjoy the presence of their own real-life superhero. Every year for the 4th of July parade in Glen Ellyn, Charbonneau has donned a Superman costume so he can bring delight to the townspeople. His guest appearance as the Man of Steel has made him something of a legend amongst the few generations of families. So it doesn't say his age, but it says that he's been in Glen Ellyn for 26 years. So I don't know if that means he's 26 or if he's just been there for 26 and he's an older gentleman. I'm not entirely sure. But he does a lot more than just wear a costume. He also helps small businesses maintain tidy sidewalks. He carries a third-degree black belt in karate so he can be ready to offer protection whenever necessary. And he even stopped a potential thief who tried to steal some furniture from an outdoor furniture store. So when Superman was in need of rescuing earlier this month, his town of Glen Ellyn did not hesitate to rally behind him. Charbonneau has Asperger's syndrome, which is a high-functioning form of autism, and he has lived alone in the same flat for almost 30 years, which is why he was particularly upset when the new owners of the apartment building raised his rent from $455 a month to $800 a month. So, changes, because he does have Asperger's syndrome, changes in his routine can be extremely upsetting. So his close friend, a woman named Julie Spiller, wanted to ease his anxieties by raising at least $4,500 to help pay the difference in his rent for 1 year so he can use that year to sort of transition between what he is familiar with and slowly integrate into a new lifestyle comfortably and in a way that won't be so upsetting with these abrupt changes. So he would have, with the $4,500, he would have at least enough time. He would have enough time to search for a more affordable apartment that can be located near public transit so he can continue his full-time job and take his karate classes. When the community heard about Charbonneau's dilemma, they raised over $35,000 in less than a week. Remember, the goal here was $4,500. The community came together and in less than a week raised $35,000 for Jonathan. And thanks to the help of a local special needs attorney, Charbonneau just signed a 6-month lease in which he agreed to pay the 75% increase in rent so long as the landlord paid the utilities and he would be allowed to move out at any time with 30 days' notice. The attorney is going to use the extra funds from his GoFundMe page to create a financial safety net for Charbonneau in the event that he is unable to work or lose his insurance. So he'll have this nice cushion ready for him if he needs it. His friend Julie Spiller says Jonathan is very receptive to all of this. In fact, I would say he has been giddy with everything going on. He feels the love. He feels important. He feels worthy. And mostly he feels like he feels protected, like he protects us when he dresses as Superman. Since then, she has received dozens of messages to support her friend. Spiller says that she will be compiling a book filled with all of the well wishes so she can present it as a gift to Jonathan. The financial support is shocking and a dream for Jonathan, she wrote on the campaign page. More important is all of the love he is feeling and the personal notes you have each shared. I will be printing each and every note and making them into a book for Jonathan to cherish forever. So there you go. This is this week's The Awe Factor. Jonathan Charbonneau, who has spent almost 30 years protecting his city as Superman and just in doing good deeds in general throughout town, has good karma has come to serve him back when he needed it.
Oh, so, wow. That's wonderful. So, folks, there you go. A template. You know, what's the saying?
I like that.
Treat people the way that you like to be treated.
Yeah. What goes around comes around.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole book of sayings related to that general theme.
Superman. I wonder, with this story going national, I wonder, well, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't make him buy a license to wear the Superman
suit. I would hope not.
No.
I mean, Superman's been reproduced millions and millions of times over the years. So, I mean, I would hope that they would just let this guy live his life of good deeds and, you know, feel the warm fuzzies from his return.
And how about that landlord? I mean, come on.
Come on. The new guy moves in and nearly doubles the rent.
Come
I think
on.
That. And I
wow.
You know, for me, too, a part of that story was kind of like he signed the lease for the amount that the landlord, like, I didn't feel like there was a big break there for him. You know, the landlord said he would pay the utilities, but who's to say he wasn't going to do that in the first place? Like,
right.
Is that a big concession? I don't know. That was definitely a part of why I was like, come on, man. Like, the guy's been there for 26 years and you're going to nearly double the rent on him. So that was a bit of a bummer, but hopefully Jonathan will find he'll look for a new place to live. Maybe somebody with a good heart will come out and say, hey, I have a place. You know, we'll keep it at what you're accustomed to. And I have a feeling the story will have a good end one way or the other.
Yeah, it seems like it already has.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that one.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Right. That's this week's The Awe Factor.
The Awe Factor. Warm fuzzies for everyone. And we're going to take a break. This is The Beacon.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000 plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in Business Information Technology. And I know I have a disability and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say, awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Yes, and we're here every... It's hard to say now.
Well, every Saturday as of right now.
As of right now.
But that will change on the first weekend of December. We will be moving to a new time slot, which will be Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. But, you know, essentially still the same. You can still have your breakfast with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can still enjoy your Sunday mornings with us.
Right.
No big changes, but just put it on your calendar so that you don't miss us that
first
weekend of December.
And then after our show, you can go directly to the television and start watching all the football pregame.
Right. That is what's going to happen. Exactly.
Exactly.
Sunday mornings are good mornings to just chill at home.
If you're not going to church.
Right.
Or
there is that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
Anyway.
Now let's keep things moving here. Coming up, we're going to dive right into what's highly recommended. And this time, Sandy's just doing a solo act. Brett's a little under the weather, so we'll find out what she has to say.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am Sandy Murillo, and welcome again to It's Highly Recommended, where we review shows, movies, books, occasionally restaurants, a little bit of everything. We like to keep everyone informed on different cultural events and things that you might enjoy. And this week, I am actually reviewing The Fault in Our Stars. This was a novel that came out in 2012. It was written by John Green. It is available on Audible for those of you who might want to listen to the audio version. And I watched the 2014 film adaptation of this novel. It's what caught my attention of this particular movie. It's that it's a romantic tragedy slash drama. I usually am not into these types of films personally. But what caught my attention was the story, which I will go into detail in a couple, very shortly. But I did not watch it with audio description. I usually, with dramas, I'm, you know, become very comfortable without audio description. But anyway, going back to the film, The Fault in Our Stars, it tells the story of Hazel Grace, who is a 16-year-old. She's been battling cancer for many years. And while at a support group, she meets Augustus, who is also battling cancer. He actually had a leg amputated. And they actually, as I said, they meet in a support group. Hazel is encouraged by her mom to attend this support group. They become good friends, you know, because they've been dealing with a very unfortunate hardship, which, as I said, is cancer. And, you know, that's one of the things that caught my attention of the movie, that, you know, it covers real life situations. I have never been through, you know, a situation such as what I imagine cancer must be. But I think that overall, you know, it gave a pretty accurate depiction of some of the emotional challenges, situations that the characters encounter. But going back to the film, so Hazel and Augustus, they meet. They're both teenagers. You know, they get to know each other, and they exchange their favorite novels with each other. Hazel's is an imperial affliction, which the novel deals with another young girl who's been dealing with cancer and some of the situations that Hazel has unfortunately experienced. So Hazel, you know, naturally is very attracted to this novel. But the thing is that the ending of this novel is very unclear. It stops at mid-sentence, which leads Hazel and the viewers to believe that either the character of the novel died or, you know, it was left inconclusive. So Hazel, she really wants to possibly ask the actual author, you know, how does this novel end? Augustus, he arranges so that Hazel can contact the author, and in the end, they end up going to Holland, which is where the author is from. But once they get to Holland, it turns out that the author is not who he seems to be. You know, he unfortunately insults Hazel, and you know, it turns out not to be as Hazel imagined it to be, the author. And so in the end, I will not give any spoilers here, but it is somewhat of a sad ending for one of the characters. One of the characters gets very sick. And that's as much as I will share. But overall, you know, I've always enjoyed these types of movies that have dealt with health conditions, other type of drama. And you can find it on Netflix, Amazon. It's available all over the place. If you're a type of person that likes, you know, drama, romantic tragedy movies, and there's a certain element of comedy in there as well in some of the scenes. But if you enjoy those types of movies, this is a movie that I would highly recommend. For me, it was just one of those that, it was just something, it was Saturday night. I really had nothing to watch, you know, so I saw this movie that it would be on. So, yeah, I decided to give it a look, if you will. And an interesting fact about it is that it was based partly on Shakespeare's Julius Caesar on Act 1, Scene 2. So it definitely has that kind of romantic twist to the movie. I actually do want to read the novel after watching the movie. You know, I don't know how much of the novel, or how much of the movie, rather, is in the novel. As we know, sometimes the movies take out part of the book, of, you know, what's in the novel. So I am actually curious, and I'm thinking that I will check out the novel. But again, this is The Fault in Our Stars. You can either read the novel, the movie, which I highly recommend, and I hope that you will enjoy. And Brett, unfortunately, isn't here to share any performances, but I do want to make everyone aware. A lot of our listeners might be wondering, since we often review audio description performances, touch tours, and a lot of you might be wondering, well, how can we find out about these plays? Well, besides listening to It's Highly Recommended, you can get a more comprehensive list of the different plays with audio description, touch tours, or even American Sign Language interpreted, or performances that are sensory friendly for individuals with autism. You can find out about these upcoming performances at www.chicagoplays.com. Chicago, Chicago, plays, plays.com/access. And this calendar of performances is actually brought by the Chicago League of Theaters. And one of their goals is to create theater that is accessible for individuals with disabilities. I will actually be going tonight to the Auditorium Theater, to the Ballet Folklórico de México, one of the large Mexican ballet companies. I will be going to see their performance that they will be holding tonight as well as Sunday at the Auditorium Theater. And I have to say that I've always wanted to check out this performance, but, you know, of course, as someone who is blind, I think it'll have an interesting twist. I've never been to a large ballet performance like this, so this will be a new experience. I'm sure I'll be using the Aira assistive technology, which I have used for other plays before, to at least get a sense of the stage and possibly even some of the performances, someone describing to me what's going on. But this is something that I am really looking forward to tonight. And next Saturday, and it's highly recommended, I will let everyone know about my experience and what I thought about the performance. But that about does it for me for today. Again, this was It's Highly Recommended here on The Beacon.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. We will be with you on Saturday through November, and then first week of December, we are switching to Sunday mornings at 8 a.m., still 8:20 a.m. That's the radio station is 8:20 a.m. The time slot is 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., not to be confused there. And we aren't going anywhere, so we will see you same time, same place next week. Have a great week. Stay warm. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.